Has intent for information on educational purposes only, not for the purpose of rendering medical advice. As always, information should be pulled from multiple credible sources. Cross-reference warmly. Your almost accurate hypothesis evidence can support. Always seek the advice of a physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any question regarding a medical condition.
This is the Actual PT Podcast, where actual problems meet actual evidence, producing actual results. And your hosts, Troy Lind and Taylor Flocken.
Well, howdy do, actual PT Nation. Great to be chatting with you. From what I understand, I was not here for the last conversation that was had.
So you want to show up today, Taylor?
I am here. Yeah, somebody decided to wait for me today.
Well, actual PT Nation, I'm sorry Taylor decided to get off his siesta and come work with us today. Learn with us today.
I'm so glad you decided to stop being selfish for a week.
A shellfish. It's a good thing I don't have any allergies, huh, Taylor?
You know, you're posturing pretty hard right now, Chuck.
I am postured on this one for sure, because you weren't in the last episode, but nonetheless.
What
are we talking about?
What are you talking about? I'm talking about posture today.
We're talking about posture today, because you're actually here today. So we are going to talk about posture.
How's that rounded back right now?
Very rounded. Yeah. I feel like I have to round to talk closer to the mic, you know?
Nonetheless. So that's right, actual PT Nation. We're talking about good old posture, the way that we hold ourselves and the way that we move, the way that we sit, the way that we lie. It's kind of...
And stand.
I forgot about standing.
Yeah, that's a part of posture. Mm-hmm.
That is a part of posture. It goes with every single thing we move. I mean, there's...
Or don't move. Statically.
Yeah, just the way that you sit there. Yeah. And it can be a little bit of a hot button issue a little bit. And I think there's some misunderstandings surrounding it. Posture at the end of the day, or ideal posture, is just all about loading the tissues that like being loaded and minimizing that stress on things that are more supportive in nature, you know, as things that don't like to take the brunt.
Ligaments. Like ligaments and bones and tendons. And
what accent is that?
So I feel like that's like all of our instructors in West Virginia. Yeah. Ligaments.
Yeah. So, well, and just a refresher on what ligaments are, they attach bone to bone. And ideally, these are things you don't want to stretch. These are things that you want to have stay nice and tight.
Stiff.
Because otherwise, if they are not...
Not stiff.
That means your muscles have to take over. And some muscles, they're just not quite as good at that job.
No, that's mm-hmm. the ligament's job.
Yeah. So, I guess we'll kind of jump into, I guess, like some of the common...
Upper cross and lower cross syndrome.
That's how this episode's going to be.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about some of the common, bad, quote-unquote, bad postures, which I don't know if I like the term bad for this.
It's all unique to the individual, you know?
For sure.
Because one person's posture doesn't necessarily need to be another person's posture, especially over the course of a lifetime. But, less ideal, I guess, is one way to put it, right? Yeah.
So we'll phrase it this way. These two in particular, they have negative things associated with them.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
And, you know, there are those negative things can definitely become really dysfunctional. And so upper cross syndrome, the upper part of the body. I think this one goes by many names.
Yeah, it does.
Forehead posture, forehead carriage. Sometimes a humpback is sometimes used in extreme cases.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's people refer to it as the stereotypical old person posture, the hunched over look.
Is this also Dowager's hump?
Dowager's? That's kind of. Well, that's a pathologic process.
Yeah, but I feel like that's also, you know, you need an upper cross syndrome for that to occur.
Humpback of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Notre Dame. That look. Yeah. So part of the what's happening here is the front part of the body, your chest, your neck, the front part, like all that stuff gets kind of like all tightened down, and then the back part gets stretched out. And so, especially if this is something that is sustained over long periods of time, a lot of stuff can start getting cranky. And you do this over a couple decades, and you can more or less remain somewhat stuck in this posture, especially when we start talking about osteoporosis, osteopenia, that forward wedging of the vertebrae where the front part starts just getting beaten down over time, you know?
Yeah, basically picture taking your chin or your nose and just stretching it as far forward as you can without moving anything else, right?
Yeah.
And then take your shoulders and try to like basically pinch them together forward. Mm-hmm. And that's essentially the exaggerated version of what we're looking at. Or just go around to any nursing home you find and look at the nearest 80-year-old.
Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, sit on your computer for an hour and sitting at a desk and then take a picture and see how you're sitting. Yeah,
literally.
Yeah. And, you know, I think like definitely like short term use of this posture. I mean, it's not inherently bad. It's just it just goes back to what structures are taking the load. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of upper cross. Now we're going to talk about the lower cross syndrome. And so for this one, it's kind of a little bit of a similar story. It's kind of like all around the hips and the back. So front side, your hip flexors, those guys get nice and tight. They don't want to stretch back. People with this usually stretching their leg backwards is not fun.
No bueno.
No bueno. And because of this, this also kind of translates to the back part, especially your glutes and your lumbar. Kind of all the musculature through there just gets stretched out and also usually gets inhibited because of the position. So if you can't use your posterior chain, that's going to translate kind of all the way down the chain, if you will. Knee problems, especially ankles can get a little wonky. But both of these postures, this upper and this lower cross, they're both usually symptomatic of just very sedentary lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just from most of the time from a seated posture for extended periods of time, like in the occupation, stuff like that, which we'll get into here soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Taylor, what would you say is an ideal posture? What does that look like? Because from my understanding, being a physical therapist, there are ideal.
Are you one of those?
There are ideal curvatures to the spine, correct?
Yes, there are. It's natural.
So what exactly are those, would you say? Question mark?
Yes, there is a natural curvature. There's three of them. Well, I guess four, if you're counting that last little bit of the tailbone there. So these natural curvatures, they kind of go back and forth between kyphosis, which that's kind of like rounding out.
Like a C.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I guess.
I guess it depends which direction.
Yeah, yeah. If it's a.
A normal C.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, a kyphosis, that exists like in your thoracic spine. And then that also exists a little bit in your tailbone and kind of that whole sacrum area, if you're wanting to count that technically. The other direction, lordosis, that goes with your cervical spine, your neck, and then also your lumbar, which it's kind of this thing, you know, you don't want to be exaggerated too far in any one direction. You want to have kind of like a nice balance. You want it to be, you know, a moderate curve up high and kind of working its way down low. If you go too far in any direction for sustained periods of time, that's going to give you issues. If you go too far in any one direction trying to pick up something heavy, that's going to give you issues. I mean, that's kind of my general take on it, is just shooting for as close to, not necessarily as close to neutral, but trying to have everything within moderation, right?
Yeah, yeah. So basically the lordosis, it's think of almost a reverse C, right? There's like a natural angle to the spine. So yeah, when you hear people, personal trainers or physical therapists say all the time that you want to keep your lordosis, basically when you start to get in trouble is when like you lose curvatures. So when your lower back becomes flat or mm-hmm. rounded in the opposite direction. Right?
Yes.
So once you go into these extremes, usually with movement or loaded, that's mm-hmm. usually when the injuries occur.
Right.
But you can also get it from, you know, static, static, prolonged static positioning in these areas. So if you think of really slouched
yes.
in a chair, basically your lower back is reversing. It's doing the opposite curvature that it's supposed to have for long periods of time. And that's, you know, how lower back pain usually occurs. Would you say?
Yeah. Yeah. No, no, I'd agree with that. And a lot of times that sustained posture, chances are when a person has like an episode of pain pop up, chances are they've been working on it for a while.
Yeah.
It's not something that just came out of nowhere. This is literally been a week, sometimes months in the making.
Yeah.
And it was just that 10-pound weight I got off the ground. That's the thing that made me worse, or that's the thing that triggered everything. Well, it you know, what is that?
The dog.
Oh. in most cases, that's kind of like the hay that broke the camel's back.
Yeah.
It's problems that you've been putting a lot, just so much stress through those supporting tissues for so long, they finally let you know about it.
Yeah. And so to support this, I found an article that I'll get into in a little bit. But basically, it goes on in the introduction to just have a little supporting statement to what we just explained, which is correct posture minimizes the strain on the human body by maintaining balance of the muscles and skeleton. This balanced musculoskeletal state protects the supporting structures in the body and prevents damage or progressive deformation in all positions, including standing, lying, and sitting. So, yeah, I guess that's a good summary of everything we just said. It's kind of all about, it's all a balancing act, right? I mean, if you can picture the front part, I mean, the front of you, right?
Mm-hmm.
The anterior surface of your body, you're balancing those muscles compared to the posterior surface. So the anterior
right.
chain to the posterior chain. That's what
right.
posture is all about.
No, absolutely. And thinking about, kind of applying that to like moving and movement, lifting, how we squat, how we go up and down stairs, and all that stuff. It's just it's when we start getting into those like incorrect things, those tissues just aren't really good at handling that. And we're talking about like breakdown of form with things like squat. I mean, if you feel like your back is going, that's your sign to stop squatting.
Stop doing it.
Stop it.
Stop what you're doing.
Put that thing down. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so we've talked about what common postural issues are. We've talked about what proper posture looks like. So, you know, it kind of sound like the old angry person with the kids on their front yard. But why is, in a general sense, the population having issues with posture? Why are we experiencing worsening posture as a whole, do you think, Taylor Flocken?
Oh, it's all those kids these days. Yeah, let me tell you. Let me tell you about those kids these days. Just all their computers, all their sitting mm-hmm. jobs, mm-hmm. just sitting there at the computer all day, mm-hmm. all their phones. Oh, are you talking about tech neck right now?
Snapbook? Is that what you're on?
You're on chat
face, huh?
You're on that Insta-chat?
Insta-chat? Is that what you're on?
You're talking about that? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just so many things that we do these days involve looking down for extended periods of time. And we usually like to get into really relaxed postures. You know, all of our furniture these days promotes this too.
Yeah, I mean, every couch, every
recliner, yeah. love seats.
Like the worst things for your posture.
Oh yeah, no, they completely reverse all that. You're sitting like just one big C, and then you're usually looking down at your phone like as far as it'll go, or you're sitting in bed with three pillows propped behind your head.
Yep.
I mean, it's cozy. It's a cozy thing. I think we all do it from time to time, but mm-hmm. you know, day in, day out, or especially hours worth of this can definitely start wreaking its havoc on your body.
Yeah, especially when you do it. So the article that I just referenced, basically, it's called Effective an Exercise Program. The title of it is Effective an Exercise Program for Posture Correction on Musculoskeletal mm-hmm. Pain. Kim et al. So look it up if you feel like it. But basically, yeah, they go on to say that the population as a whole, human beings, are having an increase in occupations that cause static posturing,
mm-hmm.
Which causes coasting on the joints, which you can talk about in a little bit. Yeah. They also reference same thing, increased use of tablets and phones. And then something I guess I didn't really think of, there's an increase in school/classroom-based learning over the course of kind of like generationally speaking, you know. And this is even increased with increased college participation drastically from like our parents, for instance. Which I guess I didn't really think of. And they continued to make a point in it where they said basically how if incorrect posturing occurs, it becomes almost a habit in early age. Individuals maintaining those postures may adapt and consider them comfortable. Right. So basically the tissues, change due to plasticity. And now that poor slouched, quote unquote, slouched posture can become comfortable and normal for them. And when this occurs, yeah, the imbalance has already begun. And in early age, that's even harder to
correct
and reverse, yeah, you know?
Yeah. And I've even seen it in my own practice a little bit with teenagers. They will legitimately have like stretch marks on their back from just being in that just hyper kyphotic, just kind of rounded over position. And I think for me too, it's kind of matter of going off of like coasting, where you're just kind of like resting into those positions, or where no muscle is really needing to turn on. And I think that kind of goes back to our brains being very concerned with starving to a certain extent,
yeah,
and wanting to just rest, taking the path of least resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Over time, that can definitely have its effect on everything. And this is also pointing it to being kind of like a neuromuscular type issue, where our brain has a set motor pattern for literally everything. Like, mm-hmm, what's your standing posture? What's your gait like? How do you squat? Mm-hmm. These are all things your brain's like, oh, well, I activate this muscle followed with this one. And there's a sequence to it.
Yep.
If we develop that neuromuscular habit, that motor pattern incorrectly at an early age, yeah, that can be very difficult to overcome and correct.
Yeah. And I think you said it great.
Not anything about that. Yeah, I have nothing.
No.
Yeah.
So moving forward into the study I've been referencing like 100 times now. So Kim et al., like I said, the title is Effective an Exercise Program for Postural Correction on Musculoskeletal Pain. So basically, the overview of it, they took 88 students. So that's one of the limitations of the study, is it only took students, college-age students, 34 males, 54 females. Basically, they had any form of pain between neck pain, shoulder pain, spine pain, pelvis pain. So spine as in cervical, thoracic, or lumbar. And they basically just had them rate it 1 through 10. That was essentially what they did. And then they took them through an exercise program. This exercise program was just 20 minutes a day, 20 minutes per session and then 3 sessions per week for 8 weeks. Okay. So a basic, pretty standard, pretty basic exercise protocol, not too super high intensity. The exercise program itself, the first week was essentially just focused on stretching. So stretching out of that upper and lower cross syndromes, basically stretching the tight muscles, if you will. And then from week 2 on to week 8, it was essentially exercises aimed at postural correction. So some examples of these I can pull up are basically spine flexibility exercises, lower muscle static strengthening, abdominal muscle strengthening, head and neck stretching, adductor muscle strengthening, pelvic tilt exercises, squat while seated, calf stretching, so on and so forth.
Did you say adductors?
Adductors, yes.
Oh, interesting.
Which I thought that's interesting. But anyways, that's what they did. And then the results of this study. So they found a couple things. They found that women had higher pain scores. And in the results or the discussion, they spoke about how several other studies have found this, and it's primarily usually in the neck and shoulders. Which they hypothesized a couple things. One thing might be that they just have less muscle mass and muscle strength to support, you know, to support the structures. So they get to coasting quicker, essentially, is one hypothesis. Another finding was in terms of sitting time, participants with an average sitting time of 4 to 6 hours per day had the highest pain levels, which makes sense, right? If you're in we already talked about that static positioning. If you're in that positioning longer, you're more likely going to be in pain, right?
Yeah.
Another finding, it said additionally in terms of sitting habits, participants with a slouching habit had the highest pain levels. So the more likely you are to slouch, the more pain you are likely to experience.
Yeah.
Also what we just covered. And then another one, participants who did not exercise regularly had higher pain levels compared to those participants who exercised regularly. So those who are more sedentary experience more pain than those who are not.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then lastly, what is going on back here? Lastly, pain levels in the shoulders, the middle back, and the lower back were significantly different between before and after exercise programs. Statistically significant. So that's good. That basically shows that postural retraining, and you know, that's kind of a catch-all term, right? Basically, they showed that by essentially just supporting proper posture and exercising, you can significantly decrease all the pain that you feel. And like I said, this is a college student population. It's a young population. They have
bodies are a little more plastic.
They
bounce back a little easier.
Yeah, they're not as, you know, these postural deformities, if you will, aren't quite as stuck in stone, right? I mean, they haven't been slouching for 60 years. They've been slouching for 10, 15 years. So,
right.
I mean, there's a huge, you know, it's hard to apply this to a total, you know, a general population, but it just kind of points to a lot of the things that we know about the body and we know about posture as a whole. And I think it supports those points at the very least.
Yeah. Yeah. I do find it pretty interesting too. I've seen this in my own practice and I feel like that may have been even the case a little bit to the one population in the study that, you know, talked about that were extremely sedentary or had the greatest amount of sit time. You know, if you take any joint and you stretch it to its end range of motion and you hold it there.
Keep it there for a long time.
Yeah, you keep it there for a long time. It's going to start hurting.
I mean,
you can do this right now, audience. You can take one finger and bend it back and just keep it there until the end of this episode.
For 4 to 6 hours even.
Yeah, or 4 to 6 hours. Yeah, and you do that for a couple minutes. You're like, gosh, that hurts. I want to move it in the other direction. I mean, for some reason, there's this huge disconnect with our spines compared to the other joints in our body.
Yeah.
I find that really interesting.
Yeah. Cause most people, And I don't know if it's like a lack of, insight that they don't understand that, like, when you go to sit in your recliner or you go to sit on the couch and then you go to turn on the TV that you're slouching for the entire movie.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's a lazy Sunday. I'm going to sit on the couch all day. Well, you slouched. You put yourself in a maximally, semi-maximally flexed lumbar position for, like we just said, 4 to 6 hours or more.
Yep.
And then you're curious why your back is like extra stiff the next day on top of decreased activity that day, right?
Right.
If there's anything we know, is there's anything that every bit of evidence ever found supports, is that the body likes movement, that muscles like movement, that joints like movement, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You keep them still for too long, things start barking.
Yeah. And then, and then you take your, and then you wonder why, you know, my cousin, for instance, he works at a computer all day, every day. And then he's like, I don't know why I hurt so much. Well, the body was not made, the human body was not made to sit for 8 hours every day at a desk. What it was made was to hunt and gather and move and walk miles upon miles and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I mean, this sedentary lifestyle, it's a relatively new thing in human history. I mean, especially, you know, consider like 99% of human history, we don't have any recording of, because we were just cave people for most of the time, you know?
Yeah, and then, I mean, you go back to our other episodes saying how the primary, like one of the best ways to identify time missed from work is basically just lack of movement. Yeah. Like the more conservative the approach by the clinician, the more likely you are to miss time from work. Mm-hmm. The more you can move, the better activity you are, the better off you're going to be. And I mean, this just goes to, this supports that with exercise. And that being said, just gearing your exercise towards those postural muscles, which is just kind of makes sense. You'd think that'd be an easy idea. Like, hey, we have the humans and mm-hmm. as a whole have poor posture. So we should do exercises that strengthen the muscles that are getting weaker with posture.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's lost a lot in the world because of, you look at all the Instagram models and this and that, and everyone cares more about the beach body than they do proper
just function.
Function, strengthening lower traps, for instance, which is like completely lost upon the world. But
oh, I know. I mean, shoot, never fails. Usually around once a week, I have to tell some poor guy that, you don't need to be strengthening that upper trap anymore. You don't need to be shrugging.
And you don't need to be benching constantly without stretching your pecs.
Yeah. It's just like, name one functional thing you use that muscle for. They're like lifting. I'm like, if you're lifting using that, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, literally. If you're just like shrugging constantly, it's the wrong thing.
Wrong mechanics. There was another point from that study too I found pretty interesting. Literally 20 minutes a day, 3 days a week, that adds up to an hour. That's less than 1% of the total hours a person has in a week. And that little bit was enough to make a substantial difference in their in how they felt. I think that's actually pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's a good point. I guess I didn't even think about that. It's really, in the grand scheme of things, nothing.
No,
especially when you multiply that over the course of a lifetime, one hour a week over the course of years and years and years.
It's really not that much time. I think that was the last note I had on that little study there.
Okay, yeah. I just found one little sentence in the study, extremely interesting, that I feel like really hits everything we've talked about home.
Cool.
Basically, it said, correct posture is essential for maintaining balance of the body, proper arrangement of supporting structures, and effective functioning of the body. Therefore, to say that correct posture is a prerequisite of a healthy life is not an exaggeration. So
yeah,
if you want one, I guess if you want one golden ticket from this episode to take home and tell everyone that you know about Actual PT Nation, of course.
Make sure you tell them it's about that Actual PT Nation
gave you this nugget, right?
Yeah.
It's that posture is a prerequisite for a healthy lifestyle and a healthy life in general. And, they, in the discussion, they continued to go on, about quality of life, but all the evidence out there is showing that, basically the better you can maintain, quote unquote, good posture, whatever that may be for that individual, mm-hmm. The better every quality of life measurement becomes. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's just interesting, right? It's all about balance. It's all about harmony. It's all about homeostasis, if you will.
And that is what our bodies like.
Yes.
Homeostasis.
Yeah. Homeostasis. And Taylor showing up to actually talk on the podcast.
Actual PT Nation, I'm glad you could show up to show up. I'm glad y'all are here.
Yeah. I'm glad they showed up. They were the issue here. Yeah.
They
was, not you.
I'm glad y'all didn't just pack it in for the day. Opened up your phone or listening device and hit play.
Yeah,
good for you.
Yeah, on whatever streaming service you're listening on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess there's only one thing left to say.
Always show posture. Up to the
always
podcast.
Stay postured.
Taylor Flockin Nation.
Quality of life. Actual PT Nation.
Good Lord.